From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The Illinois General Assembly has been back in session this week, and today is the last day they're scheduled to meet this year. One of the big agenda items has been in response to the massive wave of interest in the end of cash bail in Illinois, scheduled for January 1st. That interest came in large part because Republicans and many prosecutors of both parties made a big deal out of what they say are deficiencies in the law. Joining us to talk about what's happening in the Illinois Capitol this week and continuing today are two State House reporters. Amanda Vinicky is a correspondent with Chicago Tonight from PBS station WTTW. Amanda, welcome back to the show. Thanks for calling in.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Brian.
Also with us is Jerry Nowicki. He's bureau chief for the nonprofit Capital News Illinois. Its State House coverage is carried by newspapers and other news outlets across the state, including most of the NPR member stations that carry our show. Jerry, welcome back to you as well. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
And as you can tell, both of our guests are calling in by phone from the Capitol complex. I understand they both stepped out of a committee hearing to be with us today, so extra special thanks for that. Jerry, let me begin with you in the Safety Act. This is the big package of criminal justice laws passed last year. Among many other provisions, as I mentioned, it ends cash bail in Illinois as of January 1st. That became quite politically contentious this year. Democrats are considering changes. They've announced the deal to make some changes to that. What's happening there?
Yeah, so it seems to have really addressed this trailer bill that they're hearing in committee right now. It seems to have really addressed a lot of the concerns that you heard from some state's attorneys and law enforcement officials. I don't think they're still super gung-ho about it, but they've at least the trade associations for state's attorneys and sheriffs have gotten to a point of neutrality. So what the bill is going to do is it sort of widens the net of offenses that can lead to pretrial detention by a judge, and fixes and clarifies sort of that it's going to pertain to people who are arrested after January 1st, and it's going to give those who were arrested before that and maybe held in lieu of cash bail, it's going to give them some timelines as to potentially being entered into the new system for the end of cash bail.
And that's a good point, Jerry, because one of the critiques we heard of this is that the jailhouse doors are going to be thrown open on January 1st. Talk about that a little more.
Yeah, that's not the case. It really wasn't ever the case, but the Supreme Court pretrial implementation task force has said over and over again that, you know, we really don't know what happens January 1st prior to this trailer bill addressing it. They said, you know, it could be interpreted different ways by different judges in different counties. So what this does is it makes very clear that those held in lieu of cash bail will and may remain to be heard, held, but they also have the opportunity to go before a judge under the new rules after they've petitioned the court to do so. And there are varying timelines when they're case would be heard depending on the severity of the offense.
All right, so at least slows down that aspect of things. Amanda, let's go bigger picture on this. All this Sturm und Drang around the end of cash bail, it doesn't really seem to have cost the Democrats much in this year's elections. Why are they still pursuing these changes?
You're right, Brian. They clearly were victorious. Statewide races have additional seats in the General Assembly. So they weren't punished at the ballot box, despite Republicans really trying to make this the central issue of the midterm election. They're still going forward with it, I think, because while there was a lot of misinformation and sort of over-the-top rhetoric when it came to this, when you hear from state's attorneys, they do say that they had flaws, concerns, problems, you put it earlier, deficiencies with the law. And I think that there is a recognition of that you heard from Governor G.B. Pritzker and from the Attorney General, Kwame Raoul, that there need to be changes before January 1. So while they might not have been punished right away at the ballot box, it would have been an egg on Pritzker's face had there not come some sort of resolution. And getting to what you were just talking about, let's say what was going to happen on January 1. Was it going to be this purge law and the doors of jails let open and all of a sudden dangerous criminals everywhere? No. But as Jerry was noting, there were questions. What was going to happen? Would there be a glut of cases? Might that occur in some counties where judges read the law a little bit differently? It really was unknown. So it was clear that, again, while there was politics as part of this, there were some real concerns. And I think Democrats want this to be a long-term success. This is a big part of the mission, particularly for Black legislators and following all of the uprisings after George Floyd's murder to correct some wrongs in the criminal justice system. And if this was a flop, given continued questions about increases in crime, they could have had some problems, I think, with an undermining of this really landmark package that they want to go as well as possible. So what they came up with, they say, is really a compromise that holds true to the tenets of what they were seeking to achieve with getting rid of bail period, and at the same time correcting some of these issues that those in law enforcement really said were going to potentially be problematic and making Illinois less safe.
Well, we're not fortune tellers, we're reporters, but as I understand, this is not yet passed the General Assembly. What, Amanda, are you expecting? I mean, is there any question that this is going to pass both the House and Senate today, or is that pretty much what's expected to happen anyway?
You know, lobbyists get paid a whole lot more money than I do to actually count votes. I have not even ventured to try to do so. But if I were a betting type, I would say that, yes, this is going to pass again because of the high stakes. This is going to be where Democrats, first of all, do have the super majorities to be able to get this passed. While you had, I think, some moderates calling for more, calling for this to go further, and you had maybe particularly some of the more progressive and Black legislators not wanting all of these changes to be made. When you have the consensus that we have presented, you have, for example, from State Senator Scott Bennett from the Champaign area, he is in agreement with this, as well as Robert Peters, who is one of those who had said, hey, look at the election, we don't have to do anything, and had wanted the Safety Act to really say more of what it was. So that sort of unified front really does tell us that this is likely going to pass in short order, maybe a long day for those of us here, but short order in the long run, given that, as you noted, a Senate hearing appears to be just getting out right now, then it'll go to the Senate floor, and then the House will have its turn, and so it might be a matter of hours, but the plan is to get this done today, because as you noted before, Brian, this is the last day of session in the year 2022, and of course, the law takes effect at the stroke of midnight in the new year as 2023 is rung in.
Well, thank you both for your service in the State House following the bouncing ball of this stuff. And I guess this is more evidence for my hypothesis that the real both sides, if you want to look at it that way, in covering Illinois politics is what the various factions of Democrats want to do, given the size of their supermajorities. Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. We're speaking with Jerry Nowicki, who's bureau chief at Capital News Illinois, a news service that's distributed to newspapers and public radio stations and other outlets across the state. Also, Amanda Vinicky, correspondent for WTTW News' program Chicago Tonight. And let's move on to some money matters. Jerry, this week the governor and a number of lawmakers and interest groups announced a plan to deal with more than a billion dollars in debt on the state's unemployment insurance fund. What led to that situation? What are lawmakers proposing to do there?
Yeah, it sort of necessitated, well, first of all, the debt was there because of COVID, and unemployment just skyrocketed during stay-at-home orders and the rest of it. So it was initially $4.5 billion. They used $2.7 billion in federal funds to pay it down partially. Then strong performances of the unemployment fund allowed them to pay down like $450 million more. And then this agreement, the appropriations will come sometime probably next year officially, but there's going to be another, I think it's $1.8 billion to retire the debt and buoy the balance of the fund. And what that does and why it's significant is it's going to head off some major tax increases on employers for the very near future. It's going to sort of alleviate pressures on the formula, which sets the unemployment tax rate for employers in the state. So it's going to be a big savings there, potentially over $900 million, according to some involved in the negotiations. And then it's also going to prevent any cuts to the benefits that people on unemployment are able to claim due to this bill.
Amanda, anything you want to add to that? I noticed that business and labor were on the same page here. Not always the case in the Capitol. Do you make anything of that?
Yeah, I do make something of that. Business and labor are on board, and also Republicans and Democrats, at least mostly Republicans, have some concerns because this is, of course, money being spent. And while the plan is also for today for the mechanics of this deal to be passed through the General Assembly, the actual dollars won't likely be dealt with until early in January. And so there's sort of a handshake agreement that Democrats won't fill that bill with additional funding. And Republicans are a little hesitant. Again, they're in the super minority. I think they'd say that they've been burned before in terms of deals that maybe have gone back on. And so by and large, however, this is agreed on, and it did need to be because businesses will end up paying some money in taxes. And I think really what people should also, for most people, what they're going to care about is that their unemployment benefits, if they do need to claim them, will not be diminished in any way. And with expectations that we could be heading toward a recession and potentially additional filings, therefore, for unemployment benefits, that is something that might give folks a wee bit of a surety.
All right. Yeah. Let me just briefly mention in the time we have remaining some other interesting things I saw this week. The House passed legislation. I think it's both chambers now have passed legislation that would prohibit state pension funds from investing their vast wealth in Russia-based assets, a response to the war in Ukraine. Jerry, let me ask you, what are the things that the General Assembly is not doing this week, right? What are the big issues it's putting off until the new year? I'm thinking abortion, guns. There was a lot of talk about that earlier this fall.
Yeah, I think you named them there, abortion guns, because they need, if they pass anything before January 1st, there's going to have to be 3/5 majority support. But if they wait until after January 1st, even with the lame duck lawmakers, they're going to be leaving the General Assembly. They'll just need 60 and 30 as opposed to, I forget what it is, but like generally 15 more votes or so in the House. They'll need 15 left after January 1 is what it is.
Yeah. Amanda, anything you want to add to that? Anything you're looking for in the new year from the General Assembly?
Looking forward to. I think really, like, you hit on the big topics. This is going to be a new General Assembly, and there's a whole lot of turnover. So I think we're going to see a lot of interesting measures popping up. We'll be keeping an eye on how, particularly in the House, which will have this now historic majority, how Speaker Welch, who's still relatively new at that job, particularly in comparison to his predecessor, is going to be handling that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a sort of a careful what you wish for. There's a lot of membership, and the more folks you get, the harder it might be to wrangle. And frankly, perhaps the expectations also would rise. If you really don't need any Republican votes, as is the case already now, why haven't measures gone forward? What is the expectation there? So we'll be watching all of those things. But immediately, as Jerry noted, the main measures are going to be dealing with a ban on assault-grade weapons and also putting into law some additional protections regarding reproductive rights.
All right. Just 2 minutes left. And before we go, I do want to mention last but not least, Amanda, nearly 16 years ago, you and I were among scores of reporters and thousands and thousands of spectators shivering in single digit temperatures in downtown Springfield on a Saturday morning. We were there to watch Illinois' then junior U.S. Senator make this announcement.
In the shadow of the old state capitol, where Lincoln once called on a house divided to stand together, where common hopes and common dreams still live, I stand before you today to announce my candidacy for President of the United States of America.
Oh, the sound of 1,000 gloves clapping. Amanda, what happened this week?
Multi-layers of gloves and mittens. I mean, Illinois gets cold, but that was out of the ordinary, Bridget.
It was
painful. It was awful. I would say there was clearly a lot of excitement there. I mean, it was incredible to have in Springfield, Illinois, you had reporters, not just those of us who, you know, cover Illinois politics, but reporters from around the world were there for that announcement. And what happened this week is there's now a marker that commemorates that on the lawn of the old state capitol. It's next to a whole lot of markers and statues talking about really anything and everything to do with Abraham Lincoln, from his dentist to his barber. And now added to that is a single sign that commemorates the announcement that Obama made that day, as well as in 2008 when he announced that now President Joe Biden would be his vice presidential running mate.
Well, my best memory of that day is my excitement and starry-eyedness as I stood next to the late, great Gwen Ifill, formerly of the PBS NewsHour. She was filing her report. So, Amanda, Jerry, thanks so much for joining us, especially ducking out of committee to do so. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
And one final note, this is more of a curiosity, really, but Governor J.B. Pritzker is going to be attending a state dinner in Washington tonight in honor of French President Emmanuel Macron. Bon voyage, Governor Pritzker. More to come here on the 21st show. After a short break, we're going to be talking about a new play written by a Central Illinois playwright dealing with the January 6th insurrection, and then the tradition of quinceañeras, which is the subject of a museum exhibit this fall in Urbana as well. That's all coming up here on the 21st show. Stay with us.